Well, the kid is going out for Kiddies Church. Those of you that got your Bibles with you, you can open it up at Matthew 28, please. Yeah, so from my side, good morning. It's great to be in Windhoek again. Actually, just passing by, but I mean, I've been away from home now for almost 2 weeks. So looking forward to get back home after church. Me and my brother is hitting the road again, back to South Africa, to Piketberg. Yeah, but this last week and a half was really awesome just to be on outreach, to be on missions in Katima Malilu. And this morning, I've asked the team basically to share with you, each of them, they'll share with you. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I really hope by them sharing that you can experience something of what we've experienced. Because I know, I think each of us that's been there, and they'll all agree with me, God has touched each of us in a certain way, maybe. And basically that we can try and give you some of that. Yeah, so I'm not going to say too much before I'm going to give over to them. Matthew 28, we all know the scripture, reading from verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now I'll get back to the scripture in a minute. Just want to tell you a little bit about the team. What we did is we've been in Katima for about a week. Now our team consists of 7 people that went on the outreach, also consisted of a group of intercessors that stayed behind and that really interceded and prayed for us. And in being there, I can just tell you this morning, it's like you can experience that prayers while you are there. And I think a lot of times people think they're staying behind and they only praying. But I'm telling you, if you're out there, it's the prayers on this side that open up the locks on the mission field. And that allows us to move where we were able to move. So every person that prayed on this side, I just want to thank you for being part of the group in this way. And then thirdly, the team consisted of people who contributed financially. Now, just so that you know how we do missions, is every person going, you're paying for yourself, so you're paying your own transport, your own food, accommodation if necessary, that kind of stuff. So every person is paying for himself to go. We don't pay people to go on missions. You pay and then you go on missions. It's like that. But then we also do fundraisers and stuff, and the fundraisers is basically for the work, the practical work we want to do there, so that we've got money that we can give, not give the money away, but to do things with that money. And I mean, out of this congregation, we had about 12,000 rand available for that. So every one of you that contributed some money, or any one of you that bought cake, like in the last 2 weeks, or curry and rice, or whatever you spent money on, thank you for that. Again, without you guys, there's a lot of stuff that we've done there that would not have been possible if it weren't for that money. I'm not going to say too much about all the different things that we did, because I don't want to say everything and then the team don't know what they're supposed to say. So I'll rather fill in the gaps afterwards. Something I do want to say, want to share on is the scripture that we've just read. And I think a lot of times we read the scripture in Matthew 28, and we're talking about the Great Commission. And we see this as a scripture where God is telling us that we are all supposed to go to the nations. Right? Yes or no? Okay. So a lot of times we read the scripture and we see this as a scripture where God is telling us to go to the nations. And what are we supposed to do when we go to the nations? According to the scripture, is to teach them and to disciple them and to baptize them. Now my question simply is, can you do that in a week? Can you disciple someone in a week? Because you see, it's very easy to go from here and say, okay, we're going on mission to this place or to that place, and we're going to this village or into that village because of the scripture telling us to go and to make disciples and baptize them and so on. But you can't disciple someone in a week. And please notice, the scripture talks about going out and making disciples, not converts. And why I'm saying this is because a lot of times we want to go out somewhere, we've got an outreach somewhere, and the success of that outreach, how we measure it, is on how many converts we've got. How many people got saved that evening? And you come back and we had this altar call and 100 people came to the front and gave their hearts to Christ. What a success. We've made 100 converts. But the scripture is telling us to make disciples, not converts. And that's something you can't do within a week. And therefore, I want to challenge you in a sense to look at the scripture differently. Because you see, for me, when we do missions or outreach, I feel that you can't do a mission or an outreach if you don't go to someone that's already there, already serving there, already making disciples. So when we go on missions, what we actually do is we don't go into the villages and we make converts and we come back and we feel great about ourselves because of how many people we've led to Christ. That's not what we do. As we go to the missionaries that's there, that's got a relationship with that people that's been there for the last 2 or 3 years, they're serving there. We go to them and we go and submit to them. We ask them, how can we help you? What do you need from us? What do you want from us? And we try and make their job as easy as possible. And in doing that, the scripture comes to fulfillment. So we're actually partnering with them that's already there. We don't go and do our own thing. And then the second part of the same scripture, I just want to show you another side of it maybe, is when we talk about making disciples, teaching people, and baptizing people, that's supposed to happen, yeah. Yeah, but it says all nations. Yeah, well, we've got a lot of nations represented in this congregation, don't we? But that's something that's supposed to happen, yeah. This is where we also make disciples. That's why we have sermons on Sundays. That's why we have Bible school. That's why we have cell groups where people come together, build each other up, where we learn stuff there. And that is why we create opportunities for you to go on missions. Because going on a mission, and you'll see that if you listen to the team, but going on a mission is part of a process of discipling you. And so often we think, no, we go there to go and disciple, but each of us need to be discipled. If we're not being discipled, we can't disciple others. So we need to be open to be discipled. And something I just shared with the team when we went, and I told them, listen, when we get back that Sunday, you're all going to share. And the reason for that is they received something there, but they need to bring that back home. And they need to share that, what they've received, they need to share it with you. Because they've been part of a process of being discipled over this last week. But in sharing it with you, that scripture, Matthew 28, comes to fulfillment. Where they come and help to disciple the people that hear their testimonies and their words. So this morning, I think without saying anything else, I just want to see if there's anything else I'm supposed to say now. No, it doesn't look like it. Without saying or sharing anything else at this stage, because I know if I talk too much, then as I carry on, because they're all smiling at me now, then they must think of, okay, that's been said. That's been said. So you guys can really just share what's on your heart this morning. And we've been through this together, so it's really been a joy and a pleasure for us to be on outreach. We've made a little video clip. I'm not going to say everything now on we've done this and we've done this and we've done this. You guys can fill in that gaps. Maybe something that's important. The team that we've served in Katima, basically, it's not a congregation. It's people from different congregations. but as a group, they're operating together over the last couple of years. So part of the group is full-time missionaries that stays there. Part of the group is like Pastor Robson, which is a pastor with his own congregation, but not everyone in this group is even in the same church together. Itai, a lot of you have met him before. We've been walking a journey with him as well for more than 2 years now. So there's really a relationship between us. I've been going, it's my fourth time that I was there now. So we're really, like I said, in a relationship with them. But they are basically a group of people really serving that community. And like every night of the week or day of the week, they've got something they're doing. So they got certain villages they go to and they build a relationship with that people of that village. So they're not just running around, going different places. And they basically invited us to come with them with a program that they're already busy with and sharing in places. They had like, what do you call that? Last Sunday it was, what? Yeah, they called it a day camp. It was a whole day of church. And so like me and Mike and Josh were some of the guys preaching there as well. The other guys were involved in making food and we played games that learned them stuff and so on. So yeah, and then also they're busy getting land where they want to establish a mission base. And we're really looking forward to that as well, to be part of that process with them. So we've got that spiritual side, and on the other side we did some practical stuff that the team will share on. But you'll see some photos of what we did there on the missions house as well. So there's a clip that I will play now, and when that is done, you guys can just come up to the front one by one. Starting with Bertie. Thank you.
After after Sunday working and playing soccer and stuff, you feel your body gets a bit sore for a week long. First, what I want to share is why I went to the missions. It was quiet for me. It was quite in a hectic time to go. But at the end of it, I made the commitment 3-4 months before that, and I went. Today I came back and I said I would have never wanted to skip that, what we have experienced there. And then just quickly want to sum up how the program went there. We had every day we had a program set out for what we're doing. So there was from the morning's breakfast, prayer, practical work, and then also doing planning for every event you're going to. Even when you go out to a village to play with kids, you come together and we plan. We come together and we pray. Then when you come back, then you go do the outreach to the villages, you come back and you pray. What do you have you experienced in that? And that really showed one thing to me also is, what do we do when we're doing something in our daily lives? Are we really praying about it? Are we really trusting God to intervene in the situation we are? And then the Katima people is very friendly people. They speak Swalozi. I think one or two words. But you learn to greet one and learn to get the language. And the moment you see their reaction when you are speaking saying something in the language, it lights them up also. And it shows interest that we're interested in them. And it was really a great experience. Missions for me was one of the biggest things I learned in this. And I also tell you guys is giving everything up in prayer. What we're doing there, it wasn't you walk in there and you start doing stuff. It was praying about something and praying about what we're going to do and ask God to be there. As Katima is a spiritual gateway for a lot of darkness and stuff like that. But in the spiritual realm, it's quite, you have to be in prayer. You have to be on your knees and pray the whole time. If you look at the team there, at Linda and Hesse and all the people there, there's nothing else you can do there but pray, pray, pray about what we're going to do and ask God to be there. Ask God to step into and make a difference what you're doing. It helped me. It just brought me back to earth when I go there. It's not about myself. It's not about what you're doing there. It's not about it just completely, you discuss it in 2-3 days, the people, the missionaries, the people that don't even are in the team are doing other works. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus there. When you come back, you and me and Eddie discussed it yesterday night, you're kind of scared because you were there and it was all about Jesus the whole week. There was nothing, there was practical work, yes, in that was Jesus also. And it makes you scared that we are sometimes step into the world and makes us work in a workplace that we don't, we're just scared to bring Jesus into it. And there we step into that and they quickly made us realize this is Jesus' place, this is Jesus' area, this is Jesus' village. And all that stuff. So that was a great thing. You appreciate small things. Running water. Your own toilet. Your own shower. All those things. It learned a lot to me also regarding those stuff. I realized what missions is. Before I went, we had a briefing which discussed what we discussed, what's going on. And I thought, oh, okay. This is what we're going to do. Let's see how it works. You cannot rock up, as Philip said, and just be in a village and stuff like that. It's serving the missionaries, the locals that are already in a system there is one, just realize why it works. We came in and Josh gave them from OM a Jesus film book as a kit, how we can set up and show the Jesus film. And they've got people that can translate. They've got people that can and do the altar call, all that stuff. And it just showed me it's organized up there. But when I can step up there, I can serve them. Although I serve the community also. But why I'm there is to serve them, encourage them. And it even made me realize is what we can do from the side. We can really support them, not just by prayer, financially, in whatever what we are planning for this year for missions also is. And just want to say that also that we will be in this year coming on. We will let you know what will happen in the missions team, which is not us, but the team going forward from now till next year also. And then I know why someone should go on missions. It's it challenges you from the beginning on. When we drove there, just give us a small task about, he said, you've got this object and preach about it. And you didn't realize that you can even preach about this mic. You can even preach about a pen, about a lock, whatever it is. And we all shared with scripture and the thing that we can preach. And that this in the beginning of the thing is, okay, this is going to be a hectic of a time because if we start off like this, we're going to preach the whole day and the whole week. But at the end, it just make you out of your comfort zone that you can do that. That whatever it is, I'm not even I'm not even a preacher. someone also join us. It's a different culture. It's like, Katima is like a different country. You don't speak of Ovambo there. You can Warapanawa, all those things that they don't understand you. They don't understand anything. And that make you realize it's like also getting away. I put on my cell phone for the whole week, and what a joy was that. You can put it on the whole week just on flight mode. You don't care what's going on in the world. But you sure as God, everything will be right at home. But that was very, very good. And what the practical stuff also led me to give what I can give, practical stuff is. But you don't, if you go with Philip and Swayze there, you really see these guys operating what they're doing. It's everyone, and what Philip did is he divided the work up in everyone. So everyone did silicone in the roofs and sanding and painting and cement, plastering and all those different things. And that also challenged me also because Philip, which was the leader of the outreach, will say, you will be doing that, thank you, all right. And he said, okay, I'm not doing it, but I will learn to do it. And that also teach me something else regarding that also, because is let's serve them in whatever way we can. And in the meantime, and they really challenged us also. speak to God when doing something practical also. And that encouraged me also is to practice what we're doing there in doing something. Coming back home, speaking to God in doing something. Challenge that. And as I said before, as the year goes also, it's, you know, in the beginning of the testimonies, but be part of what's going to be happening this year, in the year to come. It's we are really, really excited of God's what going to do and what are the things we'll get involved in just to support them and encourage them and stuff. So be challenged by that and to be part of. I don't want the whole church to do a mission team and there's no band at the end of the day. But everyone has his own way of and own strengths they can do it. But being part of the mission team was such a greater thing you can be part of. Because it's not about me. It's not about the church. It's about Jesus, as all the other ministries in church also is. And going up there, you realize you die. Yourself die. It's Jesus taking over here. And being there at the river also, it really encourages you that being there is as Namibia only has two rivers, there's one there. It's lucky to be there also. And seeing the sunsets and the beautiful sunset of Katima. So that's my testimony from this week, and I'll give now over to Mike.
Thanks, Bertie. We had a couple of nicknames on the trip, because if you spend a week together, it's going to happen. Sean is Swiss, because he's quite a funny guy, so he gave Bertie Spanner. And I won't say what mine was. I'm still not happy about that. But being in Katima was it was such a blessing. It's crazy that you go to share Jesus, you get there and you encounter Jesus the whole time. And you know, before I went, I asked why Katima. You know, why is our church focused on Katima? Why do we go to Katima? But having gone there, man, I can't understand why I haven't gone yet to Katima with the church. And one of the things that really stood out to me is the local mission team there. They are just amazing. I mean, the work that they've been doing, we would literally walk into places and children would come running, you know, because they recognize their cars and they would be screaming their names. Or we go to a village and the headman is like, no, you can do the Jesus form in front of my house and his son will come and he'll call people. So they've done so much work already that it was just such a joy to be able to partner with that. And you see God's faithfulness in the things that they've been doing. Another thing that struck me is their reliance on God. The house they stay in, you know, how they spend every single cent, where they choose to settle, when they choose to settle in a new place. They don't make any decision unless God gives them peace and directs them. And it's so striking because in our lives, even if something comes up, it's so easy to think, okay, maybe I can borrow money from there and sort this out. And you know, you don't even pray about a thing before you've already settled on a decision. And sometimes you make the wrong decisions. But they are just so God-led. And even the way the team is put together, each one is unique. It's seven members in the team. It's a couple members in the team, but there's a preacher, there's a pastor, there's a teacher, there's an evangelist, there's grace, there's discipline, they're just so well balanced as a team that it was such a joy for us to be there. A lot of times I didn't feel like we were on missions. I thought we were visiting family. I thought we went to another shofar church and we were just, you know, there. So God really knitted our hearts with them, and I can't think of any reason why not to go to Katima specifically. Another thing is the people of Katima were so receptive to the gospel of Christ that, you know, you could go and share and people would be open and they would listen, they'll come forward for prayer. People gave their lives. And I mean, that Sunday, that day camp was the whole day. When Pastor Philip says it was the whole day, it was the whole day. They had to listen to Josh and Pastor Philip and me, and then still there was altar calls, and then we did activities. It was a lot of fun, but people are so committed to receive the gospel of Christ. And that was really a blessing to behold. I mean, we didn't go anywhere where we received opposition. You know, you'd be like, you'd go, you'd share with people, and people were absolutely open. And Katima is just such a beautiful place as well that it's actually easy to go. Mosquitoes were like on a minimum and things like that. But it was really a blessing for us because I got to take my wife, we want to keep doing missions as a family. And our family is growing. For those who don't know, my wife is about 4 months pregnant now. So, I mean, if she can go on missions, guys, really. But the big thing is just I really want to encourage, I think, people to go on missions because I learned so much. I learned so much from leadership. Pastor Philip led our team, but Josh is like the OM leaders, and one of the members is from OM. So Josh is actually their team leader, but he submitted to Pastor Philip, who submitted to them, who are submitting to Josh. So it was, when the Bible says submit to one another, I saw it every single day, all the time. And it was just such a blessing as to how things worked. Things just worked because some of these biblical principles were applied. You know, and God really led them in their leadership of us and the way they used us. We placed ourselves available, yes, but they were really responsible in what they exposed us to, when, how they prepared us, all of those things. So that made it such a joy to share. And I was personally challenged sharing the word with the translator for the first time to people that I've met for the first time that day. God was working with me also a few days. My wife was asking me, is he all right? You know, but God was really working in my heart, working through things that I had to deal with. But it was just so amazing that in blessing, we were so blessed. And yeah, we felt your prayers when we went out there. We came across people who were manifesting demon possession. You know, we went to informal settlement where alcohol is really rife. And while we were working with kids, a drunk guy came there and he was very aggressive and very, you know, it was touch and go for a moment. But it's in those moments where we realize that it's your prayers that are covering us for us to be able to do what God sent us over there to do. And obviously with the finances as well, all of the projects that we were able to do really blessed them. I mean, they have space now in the kitchen, and that house can become a missions house one day, and fireplace outside and the benches. These are practical things that will make such a big difference in just how they experience their time in Katima. And the biggest thing was just that they laid down everything to be there for the gospel of Christ. They gave up family, they gave up, you know, children, marriage, they gave up all of that. And they are over there doing this every day. And so that's really challenging for me. And yeah, it's just such a blessing to be able to support them. So I urge everyone, if you can, if my pregnant wife can, you can. So go for it. Thanks.
I decided to speak after Mike because Bertie literally said everything. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't know what you guys are going to say. But, you know, I'm going to speak now. Okay, so I thought, for me, I guess, I thought Katima was, culturally, I thought it was a bit different. It was very different from other ethnic groups, other Namibian ethnic groups. But it also had its similarities, you know, in the sense that witchcraft, I guess, in most black communities is prevalent. But I think there's a stronger hold in Katima than there is in other parts. And then also, I mean, the staple remains the same, pop, green leafy things, something called 5 years or 5 million or 5,000. But it was very nice. It's like it's like a leaf that is just cut up. But like I said, the staple remains the same. And the villages are like communities. And it's very important for, you know, for most people, communities are very important. So we, like Mike said and Bertie said and Pastor Philip said, we stayed with missionaries and they were really, really lovely. They were wonderful. It felt like we were home. They just blessed and it was really beautiful. We had a program for every day which included the video that showed everything. And then the other thing is missions allows you to spend so much time in God's presence. You know, it allows you to pray so much. It allows you to take the focus so much off yourself, which is really good. And I think, I guess I wish that for everybody. You know, you spend so much time, I mean, in Vintook, you spend so much time with so many distractions and so many, your phone rings and this. I mean, for that, we had no cell phone. So we were like, we prayed lots of the time. We prayed for other people. We prayed for every event. When we came back, we prayed. So, I mean, like that, it allows you to just let go of the focus. It takes the focus off you. And it's like it's a place where you want to be all the time, you know? And then, so when you, like, you know, when you hear about missions and, you know, it sounds nice. It sounds like it's a nice place you want to go. But all of the stuff we're saying, you can't really experience from what we're saying. You've got to be there to experience it. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Another reason why we should do missions is there's a need. People don't go there just because they want to go there. There is a need. From all the stuff we did and all the practical stuff and all the places we've been, you can't help but notice that we did a lot, but there was still so much to be done. There's still so many places to go. There's still so many things that need to be done, and there's such a big need that has to be filled. Thank you. I guess it also allows you to be challenged, to be taken out of your comfort zone. Bertie also mentioned this. And that's really good. I have like basically three small testimonies. We had the one day we were playing the Jesus film. It was like 2 hours long. It was all in Silozi, and we stood but you know, like, we were praying and we stood for the entire movie. And I remember it was cold and I was feeling this back pain. It was really bad. And then it was the altar call and people gave their lives to Christ. And then there was people who wanted to be prayed for healing. And then we went out and prayed for them. And after that, like I tell you, the pain was gone. I was like, I don't know, I thought I was going to have to rub it or something, but it was all gone. And it's amazing how God works. And then the other thing was, we left our house. Obviously, we didn't even tell our neighbors that we are going away. We just went, and we knew that if the alarm people called, they would have to call one of us, and our phones were off. So anyway, so we obviously left the whole house in Jesus' name. I mean, we just left it, and we said, God, just look after that, please. And we came back on Friday to find that we left the entire back door, both the doors open, like, they wouldn't even be forced entry. They would just be entry. And I mean, that's not us. It's not the security company. It's not the neighbors, you know. It's God. And then the last testimony is, I don't know if you guys have the same issues, but I have issues with, sometimes I feel like I can't always hear God speak to me. I know I see it, I hear it, I experience it. And then sometimes I just feel like I need him to speak a lot more, and that's probably me being a bit selfish. But on this trip, I had experienced a whole different way while we were praying, and it was in many intervals when we would get to a place, and I feel his heart for a certain group of people or for a certain heart, and I mean, for a certain group of people, and just his love for everybody, Jesus gave his life for all of us, and not just for, you know, but just the fact that he loves all of us so very much. And I just wanted to say that that was my experience, the fact that I felt God speak to me in a whole different way by a revelation of hearts. Let's put it that way, if you guys understand what I mean. It was beautiful. So yeah, that's my testimony. And we can call Swayze.
Yeah, after what they all have said, Spanner and Lovey over here and so on, what is left over for me to say? For me, to experience the trip up here, going up, seeing the villages next to the road, and people walking with drums and stuff to go and fetch water. So it, for me, if you get there, we were received with a lot of love. We were received openly, and they just said to us, come in. And the people up there, when at the market, they are so open for conversation. You can start a conversation very easily with anybody there. And I think they're open to, they would be much easier to approach for, to be open for God and so on. So for me, personally, what I've experienced, I've noticed that there's a lot of things in my life that we that I take for granted. There's a lot of things that I think we all take for granted. I mean, we don't need to walk kilometers to get to water. We don't need to struggle every day to have food on the table or having a challenge to try and sell stuff to bring money in to get stuff for ourselves. We don't. Not all of us has that. Have that challenges in our life. So that changes a guy that you, it's like almost going back home and say, okay, let's start reprioritize our lives. Let's start be more grateful for what God has given us, what God has gave us. And so that is what is for me that stands out for me a lot. And for you guys that for next year, if you want to go and so on, the question is, why would you want to go? I think if you not go, you wouldn't make a big mistake. For me, going, leaving at the factory where I've worked and so on, it's a very difficult time to just leave and go on this mission, go on this outreach. But I could say I think it would have been the biggest mistake that I've ever made to not go. I think the way I can see after being away and hearing from my wife and so on, coming back, how God has blessed us for not being there. And I think you cannot afford not to go. I think to give that time that you've got, your busiest time in your life on earth, giving that to God, I think the blessing out of that would be so much more than just would have been so much more than just for staying there and try and sort it out yourself or being there. Because God was running our factory. God was running all of that side. And we not taking our phones, sitting at a place, serving Him, it could have been better for me. Right. Red beard.
We had two-way radios in the bucky and in the combi whenever we travel to villages, so if we lose each other, we can find each other. But whenever we had locals in the vehicles, this was just too much for them that we could be in communication. So I was frequently called, Redbeard, Redbeard, come in. I just want to say something that I think is very important for us to understand this morning, that with the feedback that we're giving, you get two kinds of feedback. One feedback is, I've gone, I've done something, and I want to tell you about it. And there's another kind of feedback that says, we're a team, and each one of us had a different job, and now I'm speaking to all of you. And then our job was to go. And so when we're coming back, we're not telling you what we did. We're telling you what we did as a church. So the feedback is actually, I feel a responsibility, as Pastor Philip mentioned, to let you know what you've been a part of in the last couple of weeks. I think it's an important clarification. It was really a challenging time for me to go as well. As Swayze just said, the time will never seem right. The devil will always make us think that it's not the right moment. Just about 10 days before leaving on that trip, I was away for 16 days on another trip. And doing that so short in succession, especially with a wife and two kids at home, it was a challenge. But I prayed about it, and Lisa and I both had a peace that I should go. And it was quite clear why I ended up going. I was sick most of the week from the time that we arrived. Even now, I'm still recovering. Lisa had some challenges with the boys, but when I came back and I shared some of the things that happened with her, she said, no wonder the devil made it difficult for us, because what was being accomplished there was so much bigger than what we could have even anticipated. So I'm really thankful for that. I really experienced the people of Katima, as I always do whenever I have the opportunity to be there, but this is the longest trip that I've been there, as has already been said, very open. But especially the evangelical Christians, when you get to meet with them, it's not just, let me rather say, they're different in every way, in culture, in language, in the food they eat, in how they transport, and how their houses look, everywhere. In every way, it's different, except for one. And that is just, you start a conversation about Jesus. And all of a sudden, like has already been said, it's like you walked into another shofar church. You just have so much in common. There's so much to talk about, to celebrate about. What we celebrate looks different, but we all celebrate because we know that whatever is accomplished by God. And so for me, that was one of the biggest testimonies, just being able to see two teams come together but really function as one without different people looking to different people for the leadership or for whatever. We were just functioning because in the end, Mike said, you know, we were submitting under each other in a big triangle. How does that work? It only happens when all of the people submit to God. Then you can have a triangle of submission that doesn't make sense in human eyes. But when we all submit to God, then it works. And the team just worked. There was never a time where we had to call a timeout or halftime and say, let's just regroup. There was never anything like that. We just gelled. That's all I can say about that. Why you should go, and now you will get just a small glimpse into what was preached last Sunday in Katima. If you have your Bibles, you can just go quickly to 2 Philippians, or Philippians 2, sorry. There's no 2 Philippians. Philippians 2, verse 8. And in the scripture talks about the name Lord and why Jesus was given the name Lord. It says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, so he did something and now there's a therefore. So God is about to do something. So he was obedient to the point of death. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus was born with the name Jesus, so we know that's not the name. The name that it was given to him is Jesus Christ is Lord. Luke 6 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? So we know that if you want to call him Lord, you're automatically associating with that obedience to the point of death. That's why we are also baptized, we are buried with him, and we're raised with him. And so to come back to why you should go, I believe it's a point of obedience in being involved in the Great Commission. This morning, Pastor Philip reminded us of Matthew 28, verse 19. And when I wanted to become a missionary, many people asked me, Josh, but what confirmation have you received to give up a good job? I was living in South Africa, but I was working for a U.S. company earning U.S. dollars. What scripture have you received? What prophecy have you received? If you're saying be obedient, but like, how do you know that you're supposed to be obedient? So I just want to tell you that Pastor Philip gave us all a scripture this morning. Matthew 28, 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You've received your scripture, all of you. And so from here going forward, if you're not involved in some way, even if it's just prayer from your house, even if it's just your neighbor, missions, making disciples of all nations is not just Katima. It's the guy sitting next to you at work or the guy living next to you. But if you're not involved in the Great Commission in some way, then you cannot call him Lord, Lord, because then you're not being obedient to what he has told us to do. And so I just want to encourage you. He was obedient to the point of death. That's why he's Lord. And so if we want to be able to call him Lord, we also need to be obedient. And then I just want to fix Bertie's talk, his feedback. He said this morning that they preached in the car, but he's not a preacher. I just want to say he's not a preacher yet. Yeah. Mike, Leafy, we love you. Etty.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, there's not much to add, but I want to start with a scripture. It's from Matthew 25, verse 35 to 40. So it's a bit long, but I'm going to read it. It says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." So for me, I really experienced that missions is not once a year in Katima. Missions is really to serve in the place where you are called here in Windhoek, to serve in your workplace, to serve in my workplace with my colleagues, with my patients, in my church, in my home cell or cell group, in the shop where you buy your groceries. I really felt that we can evangelize here. Missions is just the place where you can kind of get that passion for it. But to reach out is here where you are called for. Yes, and if I can share more, I think I would love to share on the way the missionaries lived. Like, that spoke the loudest to me. Like, how there's a lady, Linda, which is more or less 40 years old, and Hesmeri, Afrikaans lady, 30 years old. And like, Linda was prepared to go to Katima, where she didn't know anybody. She was prepared to sacrifice her whole life to be obedient to God. And what I really saw was, we think to be obedient to God is really to follow God is pray in the name of Jesus and then everything will just happen. But how they really, it comes through sacrifice and it comes through a lot of hard work. Like, she lived in a tent for 2 years. She was prepared to do that. And it really challenged me. Am I prepared to live in a tent for 2 years? I don't think I'm there yet. And just the way they seek God, that it's nothing about them. It's all about Jesus. That in everything they do, God is first. They wake up in the morning and ask God, "Okay, so what should I say today? Where should I go? What should I be today?" And now their house is just open to anyone. They share everything they have. They share every $10. If we give them sugar that's left over, she would say, I would pray about where's the need for the sugar. And just the way they really trusted God for mission ground. And what we did, you know, we probably would have gone to all the different areas and looked at all the practical stuff and which one is the best. But what we did is we prayed before we went. And we went to all the, we drove to all the grounds and basically walked on the ground, prayed for it, prayed together. Afterward, we came back after we've been to all the grounds and prayed together and shared what everyone got. And that way, God just started to open certain doors towards certain areas and close doors to other areas. And I think we can really do it in our lives. Like, are we just buying a house because it's the best house? Or, where are we in everything we do? The washing machine we buy, where should we put our money? And, and the other thing was also that it's nothing about me. That the more we focus on me, the smaller God gets. And the more God increases, the less or the more I must decrease. And it was just like, God cannot increase if I don't decrease. And the way the missionaries just, I cannot stand in the way. Like, they were not prepared that they themselves, they lay their lives down completely, serving God full-heartedly. And that was really, I think, the biggest testimony for me. And why would I go back? I think the missionary team at that site is, well, they're family now. So you want to go back to see what has God done in a year. How did light, how was darkness removed? And how did light come in to see what happened, the growth that took place in a year? But also for me to you know, you go on missions to come back to earth, as Bertie said, to refocus, to really get perspective again, to grow, to get out of your comfort zone and actually, just go to the nations. And then lastly, just to humble yourself to a place where, you know, you are nothing and you realize how much you need God, that you are nothing without God. Yeah, and then I also just want to close off with the scripture. So the scripture is in Mark 3, verse 13 to 15. It says, "And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons." And if you read the scripture, what you think of is to go out to heal the sick, to cast out demons. But actually, if you look closer, it says, "Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him," and then he says to go out, blah blah blah. So for me, it really means like he wants us to be with him. You can do nothing without him. You cannot heal the sick without Jesus doing it, without seeking him. And yeah, so that's all from me. Thank you.
Yes, thanks everyone. Yeah, for me personally, just why I feel doing outreaches or missions is so important. I think whenever I do outreaches or involved with outreaches, it really challenges me to refocus my life. And this is not only when I go to a place like Katima. It's whether I go to a place like Katima. It's whether I'm involved with a local outreach. It's whether I'm really praying for people that's on the outreach. It's whether I'm giving money for someone else to go on outreach. It challenges me. But that challenge helps me to refocus my life. And it sounds so funny because today, because I've really been on a lot of outreaches, and it's like every time you come back, you feel that something has really changed and you're different and you're going to do everything different now and stuff like that. Till next time. Then you almost look at your life and you think, but man, how did I get back here? How did I get back to this place where I need to make all the shifts and stuff again? And yes, I do believe we also grow from outreach to outreach, but it really is a process. And I think in the end of the day, we all need to be involved. Like I said, I don't only want to say to go. We really need to be involved in outreaches. So, yeah, what I really want to challenge you with this morning is don't wait for the announcement of next year, of when the next outreach is, to make a decision on whether you're going or not. Decide this morning. Because I really can tell you this morning, if you decide for yourself, okay, I would like to go on the next outreach, and if everything falls into place, then I'll go. Then I can promise you this morning, you're not going. Because everything will not fall into place. And the reason for that is the devil do not want you to go. Because you'll be changed by it, and people around you will be changed by that. So you decide whether you're going or not going. And if you say, okay, but if it's the will of God, I can read Matthew 28 again. Yes, it is the will of God for you to go, to give, to pray, to be involved. So the only prayer you're supposed to pray is, Lord, I'm going to be part of the next outreach. In what way do you want me to be part of it? That's your decision. It's not whether you should be involved or not be involved. But if you decide you're going, then you work towards like that. It's like, if you get up on a Sunday morning and you say, if you tell yourself, okay, if everything really falls into place this morning, then I'll go to church, you probably won't come. If you've got kids, one of them will be not lacquer, but you forgot to put petrol in the car yesterday, or this thing or that thing, or you can't make a decision like that. You decide, I'm going, and then you move stuff so that things can come into place. And that's, to me, really that place where I feel that God has given us the authority to rule over everything around us. So you make the decision, number one, and then number two, you put things in place. You take authority of your life and things around you, and you put things in place, and you move things so that you can go or give or whatever. But I think it's a mindset that we need to change. Then, yes, this morning we've got communion. I want to ask you guys, can please bring the symbols of the communion in? I basically want to read the scripture that's on the wall there. And I'm reading at John 17 from verse 18, and this is Jesus speaking. And he's saying, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them, even as you loved me. Whenever you read scripture and you see the two words next to each other, it's there as well, so that, you can basically ask the question why, because he's giving an answer there. So you read something and you can ask, okay, I hear you, Lord, why? So that, he's answering you there. When I read it in verse 23, I in them, you and me, that they may become perfectly one. Why, Lord? Why must we become perfectly one? So that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you love me. And I want you to think about this just for a split second. I shared on this last Sunday as well. But he's saying we must become one so that the world will know that Jesus is the Son of God, so that the world may know that God the Father loves them. That's why we must become one. In other words, us becoming one reveals Christ. Us becoming ones make Christ visible to the world. Us becoming one make people experience the love of Christ. That's why we need to become one. So if we as the body of Christ cannot become one, people will not receive Jesus. People will not see Jesus as the Son of God, and they won't be able to experience the love of God that He's got for them. But it's through us that they see Him, and it's through us that they experience Him in us becoming one. And going on outreach, that's why I said it in the beginning, the group consisted of people going, people praying, people giving. That is a group of people becoming one. Going there, we were a group of people going to Katima, and there was a group of people receiving us. But that two groups there became one. And in doing that, Christ becomes visible to people, and people experience the love of God through that oneness. So this morning, I really want to challenge you. I don't know everything going on in your life. I don't know where you are at. I don't know if you're in a place where you can really say this morning, but I'm part of what God is busy with. I'm part of that being one. I'm not just going to church and leaving church and go home. I'm part of this. I'm becoming one with the rest. Because that's like the biggest calling that there can be on our lives, is that place where God calls us to become one. Because in that calling of become one, you die in yourself. In that calling of becoming one, you lay down what's important to you and you look at what is important to the group. In other words, to the body of Christ. But it's so important for us to realize we need to come to that place where we can become one. And we can only become one with the Father through Jesus Christ. It's impossible to become one with the Father without Jesus Christ. And for us to become one with Him, He gave His Son, Jesus, whose body was broken, and who bled out for us to receive salvation. So this morning, as we take communion, I want to ask you to take your bread and realize that this symbol, this is a symbol of the body of Christ that was broken so that we can become one. So please take that, and in doing that, realize that God is calling you to a place of really becoming one of what He's busy with. The blood of Jesus, and I said this earlier, Jesus paid the highest price that anyone can pay. God the Father sent His Son, Jesus, to die so that we can be received. Jesus Himself gave His life. He bled out so that we can be washed clean of our sins. And yes, all of us got sins. And because of that sins, we can't get into the presence of God. But by the blood of Jesus, so if we come to a place of repentance where we can ask forgiveness for our sins and really turn to Christ, because of the blood of Jesus, we can be washed clean. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can step into the presence of the Father. So please drink it, and in drinking it, may you really experience God this morning just washing you clean. And if you sit there and you think, but there's stuff in your life that you need to sort out, this is the time to give it to Christ and to ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to wash you clean. Yes, Father, this morning we just want to come to You, and Father, we want to thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You, Father, for the price that You've paid. You've given Your only Son so that we can have a relationship with You. Thank You, Jesus, for giving You Your life so that we can have a relationship with Your Father, with our Father. Earlier this morning, Lord, we sang and we said, glory, glory, hallelujah, to the King of Kings. Lord, are You King of our lives? You've set everything in place for us to become Your children, for us to come to a place where we can call You King, where we lay down our lives. But we need to choose. And this is that moment where we make a decision, where we choose to follow You or not to. I want to ask you this morning, while keeping your eyes closed, if you're sitting here this morning and you feel that God is really speaking to you, because there's something maybe in your life that you need to lay down this morning. Maybe on the one side you're in a place where you really realize that you need to lay down your life. You haven't given your life to Christ. You need to give your life to Christ this morning. Then this moment is for you. While everyone's eyes is closed, anyone like that, you can just put up your hand and put it down again. Anyone? And secondly, maybe you've given your life to Christ at some stage, but there's sins in your life you need to lay down. There's certain things that you allow in your life, and those things are putting you in a place where you're standing on the edge. It's like you're doing everything you can to follow Christ. But that sin is still there. It's also there. And you can't follow Christ fully with your sins. You need to lay it down. So if you're sitting here this morning and you know I'm speaking to you, where there's stuff in your life you need to lay down. And you don't even have to say or share to someone this morning what it is you need to lay down. But I do want to ask you to become vulnerable. And just to allow someone to pray for you. And in that moment, that place where you allow yourself to become vulnerable and allow someone to pray for you, may you start to experience that oneness. May you start to experience what it means to become one. It's a place where none of us can judge anyone else. It's a place where none of us is more important than anyone else. It's a place where none of us are too proud to tell people to pray for us. Thank you, Father, Lord, that we can be in your house. Thank you, Father, that there is salvation in your house and there is salvation in your presence. Thank you, Father, that we can know, Lord, that although Satan likes to keep us in bondage, you've sent your Son, Jesus, to make us free. And Lord, this morning, it's about becoming free. It's about breaking that bondages. It's about moving on. It's about not staying in the same place, but moving on to a place where we can experience your freedom and where we can declare that we are free. So, Father, therefore, this morning, I just want to dedicate every person to you, every person standing in front here, coming to you this morning, not coming to us, they're coming to you this morning, and they're crying out to you this morning, they're asking you, Father, help. And Lord, none of us can change their lives, only you can. And Father, when you call us, you call each of us, because you love us. That's why you're calling us to come to you. But we need to choose. We need to choose whether we come to the front and allow someone to pray for us or whether we stay behind and not make that step. We need to choose after someone prayed for us today when we leave this building and when we leave our fellow believers, whether we're going to continue a life maybe full of sin or start a path of righteousness. And live a holy life. But we need you, Lord. We can't do it without you. And therefore, Father, my prayer this morning is that every person standing in front, someone will be praying for them. May they experience you, your presence, and your love. May they experience that, Father, you have sent your Son Jesus as Savior. May they become one, as you, Jesus, and the Father are one. In Jesus' name, amen.